The Me Too movement broke new ground, ousting powerful men for sexual misconduct. Many are now attempting to make comebacks, and they are in uncharted territory. 2 years out, there's no consensus on what the road back should look like or whether there should be a road at all. But a growing number are trying to make their way. NPR's Tovia Smith visited one of them, and we should note there are descriptions of sexual misconduct in this story.
For decades, Chef Charlie Halliwell was a culinary star around Oakland, California, as beloved for his hip restaurants as he was for embracing all the right social causes. Even the national press fawned over his modern California cuisine and his cult following. Bon Appetit suggested Halliwell should run for mayor already. But 2 years ago, as the Me Too movement was boiling over, the San Francisco Chronicle published a different take on him, and Halliwell was cooked.
Now at noon, a popular Bay Area chef under fire after more than a dozen women come forward accusing him
of what they called disgusting and lewd sexual comments.
Halliwell had been sexually harassing women for years.
The allegations included unwelcome kissing on the mouth, long handsy hugs, and constant graphic sexual banter.
He asked me if I had a boyfriend multiple times and then would tell me that, like, he would be able to please me better using more explicit language.
Former cook Catalina Del Canto says he would also come up behind her while she was stocking shelves in the walk-in cooler and press himself against her. Another employee, Katie Cotterell, says as a survivor of a prior sexual assault, she was especially rattled by one incident.
He just came up behind me and, like, put his hand on the back of my neck, and I just kind of like froze. And then that's when he goes, you know, it's always interesting to me how it's the feminists who like to be choked during sex.
Halliwell has denied intentionally pressing up against Del Canto, but doesn't dispute the rest. Right after the scandal broke, he issued a statement apologizing, saying he was ashamed of his behavior. He put himself on an unpaid leave of absence, and under pressure, he sold two of his restaurants. But after just about 10 months, he announced he was coming back and opening a new place.
It was a slap in the face. It was so insulting to all of us.
Former barista Celeste Cooper was among the dozens of accusers.
He caused a lot of trauma to a lot of people who will never be the same. So why does he get to carry on?
Halliwell says, because he's changed. He brought on a new female managing partner with the power to fire him, a mostly female management team, an outside HR firm, and he's been doing some deep soul searching ever since he landed sobbing at his therapist's office the day the scandal broke.
It was like a mule kick. Like, I had my head pretty far up my...
With therapists, counselors, and men's groups, Halliwell, now 45, says he's been working to dismantle his toxic masculinity and what he calls the outrageous persona he'd built. It was a debilitating brew of ego and insecurity, he says, that blinded him to how he was impacting others. But his public shaming, he says, was like a crash course in empathy. He recalls the first time he ventured out of the house terrified someone would accost him for what he'd done.
Like, my heart was racing and I felt unsafe. And I remember having this thought, like, this is probably a lot like how a lot of women feel all the time. And it was so heartbreaking to think that I was making people feel that way. You know, like, I thought of myself as this, like, radical feminist.
Hoping to make amends, Halliwell also began a process called restorative justice, where survivors meet with those who caused their harm.
I mean, it made me feel small.
Cotterell was one who met with Halliwell and poured out the pain his harassment had caused her.
When you're doing that in front of people that I work with, it takes away my power because then when you leave, I become a joke.
Sitting together, recalling it even now, Halliwell gets emotional.
It really hit my heart that I had caused you this pain. You know, it's like I'm still filled with shame about it.
Cotterell came away believing Halliwell deserves a second chance. But she says her openness to his redemption is not just for his sake.
I just think if you have someone who is sorry and wants to change, like, that's not the person you cast aside. That's the person that you go, okay, well then let's get down to it and let's do the work and see if you're capable. And I think letting that person back into society is actually what helps create change.
You know, like, I'm a cook, right? Like, the proof is in the pudding.
At the new restaurant, employees see progress.
Slowly but surely, like, it's all changing.
Sous chef Porter Lewis says Halliwell's outrageous persona is pretty much gone.
You see him starting to think and talk, and then he'll like hold himself back.
This has been my favorite job so far.
Server Macy Miller says she feels more respected here than anywhere she's worked. Proof, she says, that it's better to let people who are part of the problem become part of the solution rather than just boot them.
We're not going to get better that way, you know. We're not going to learn. So what was the point of the Me Too movement in the first place? You know what I mean?
Others, however, would say the point of the Me Too movement is to finally impose real consequences for misconduct long ignored. That includes a local restaurant critic who published a piece refusing to review Halliwell's new place because she said it would be enabling a harasser. He says his business dropped by almost half.
Sorry. Not sorry. You know, that's the price you pay.
Cooper, the former barista, says Halliwell could go elsewhere, but a return to glory in the restaurant scene should be off the table.
I just feel like he lost that privilege. I just am like, you kind of blew it. So why do we need to give you another chance or three?
As Cooper speaks, it's hard to miss the irony of the 2-inch-tall letters tattooed just below her neck that spell out,
forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean to forget. And I don't believe that he can change that part of him.
Former employee Catalina Del Canto doesn't buy it either.
I mean, he's a salesman. He's a salesman. He'll convince you of anything. So I feel like he's still selling. Look, I'm reformed. Come to my restaurant. It's owned by women.
At a bar across town, Del Canto says there's little Halliwell could do to change her mind. And then she sighs. Maybe, she says, people shouldn't be taking their lead from victims on whether their perpetrator deserves redemption.
It's different when it's personal. Like, maybe you're never going to get everything's fine from me. Does that mean he doesn't get to have a restaurant because I don't forgive him?
Ultimately, it may be the market that decides. Halliwell's new restaurant is still struggling, but things are slowly picking up. One customer, Roxy Cruz, says she wouldn't eat here when it opened. Now she's here with a party of 10.
But I guess that's like just time. You just get used to the idea that there's enough bad behavior around that you kind of can't avoid it.
And besides, Cruz says,
I mean, look, he made a good call with the $1 oysters, all right?
But while she's here enjoying dinner, Cruz says, she's glad that others are keeping the pressure on.
You know what? Them protesting and picketing is probably why he's acting good now. So, like, good on them for saying, like, no, I'm not going to support this business. Like, if women hadn't said anything, would he be out here trying to do this? I mean, maybe, but maybe not.
Halliwell, meanwhile, continues to trudge ahead, hoping his journey serves as both a cautionary tale and a roadmap. Some will always be against a road to redemption, he says, but it has to be a possibility, if for no other reason than to keep guys like him trying to get there. Tovia Smith, NPR News.